I'm Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, brought to you today by LSD Open. Not every organization that has migrated to the cloud has reaped the rewards promised in terms of faster development and deployment cycles, simplified infrastructure management, and most importantly, a reduction in costs. Some are going as far as repatriating their infrastructure back into an on-prem environment. Perhaps because they understand it better and they find they can more reliably predict their costs there. Dion Strubel is Chief Innovation Officer at LSD, and he says that this is not the right approach and argues that issues relating to cost and efficiency are better solved in the cloud than outside of it. Dion is my guest today, and he will be joining me online. Dion, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to the show. Dion, can we start by the name LSD? What does LSD mean, and where does it come from?
We've always been an interesting bunch, I guess. We started out as an open source company with a sort of goal, I think 25 years ago, of bringing Linux to South Africa and focusing on that. So the company was Linux System Dynamics. And then shortened to LSD, and now it's LSD Open as part of our international brand.
Understood. So many companies, Dion, moved to AWS years ago, right? But they're not seeing the results that they were hoping for, perhaps. Could you tell us why some companies struggle with the cloud migration?
I think that maybe a lot of companies are maybe thinking that the migration part of the move into the cloud is sort of the final step rather than that first step of going into the cloud. And you really need to think of cloud adoption as that journey of the new sort of version of your business, you know, because everything is slightly different in the cloud. Everything is a little faster. It works a little differently. You have different skill requirements, and you have this journey that companies need to go on in order to really realize that benefit. I think a lot of organizations are, and we see this happen all the time, where organizations adopt the cloud, move into the cloud, don't see the benefit, and then go, like you were saying earlier, let's just go back on-prem because it's we know what's going on there. We understand it. What we should be doing is looking at what are you doing in the cloud and how can we help you improve what is in the cloud so that you can get the benefit that you thought you were going to get and get the most out of what your investment is in the cloud.
And we're going to get into detail about the benefits a little more later. But, you know, there's this term cloud native that goes around, and I think it speaks to what you're saying about building for a cloud native environment instead of building in an older way of thinking. How can organizations truly build in a cloud native way?
Yeah, so I think we need to understand what the difference is between the two, right? So building in the cloud, a virtual machine in the cloud is just sitting in another data center. AWS, Google, Azure, it's just another data center, whether it's your data center or someone else's data center. So running a virtual machine in the cloud is not cloud native. Cloud native, you know, sort of the definition of cloud native is it's a technology that empowers an organization to build a scalable application in a modern dynamic environment, like a public cloud or a private cloud, or even in a hybrid cloud, the ability to move applications in multiple directions. And the technology from a cloud native perspective utilizes things like containerization. It uses microservices. It uses immutable infrastructure. It changes the thinking from I've got my virtual machine, which is my pet. It's like my dog and my cat that I love very much, and I want to keep them alive for as long as possible. And it changes that thinking to saying, my application runs in a container and it's cattle. I don't care. You know, they shouldn't live for longer than a couple of days or a couple of hours before they get replaced by the next version of the application. So building for cloud native means that you are by definition building in a way that allows you to iterate much, much faster. You're making smaller incremental changes that has less chance of failing. And you start seeing things like APIs become very, very crucial. You start seeing data that is moving around a lot, and you're starting seeing applications being able to move from data center into the cloud quite seamlessly. So I think cloud native, and we've seen this, the reports that have come out through things like the DORA report and some of the AWS reports showing very clearly that the more cloud native you adopt, the more DevOps frameworks you adopt, and the more sort of this innovative technology you adopt, the better off your business is, not just from a technology perspective, but things like the DORA report shows very clearly that adopting more stronger DevOps practices, more modernized technologies, more cloud native literally shows increase in revenue, you know, for businesses. It literally shows companies overtaking their competition.
It sounds like a move to the cloud has to come along with a change in mindset. But then a change in mindset means that then possibly organizations also need to kind of do a change in skilling, or change the way that they do things and the skills that they have in the organization. What deficiencies have you seen in terms of skilling when companies move from on-prem to the cloud?
So I think there's a few misconceptions when it comes to skill in the cloud. The first sort of misconception is that I think organizations take the stance that I'm going to move to the cloud, which means I don't need all of these other people in my team anymore. I don't need the storage people, the database people, the monitoring people, like all these different teams, because I'm only going to have cloud people. I'm going to have two or three cloud engineers, and they're going to rock and roll, and they're going to take care of everything. And I mean, that's just not going to happen. What you are going to need is you're going to need people who are very good at running databases and storage and understand all of those things very deeply. But you are going to have to augment them with some skill in order to have them understand the functionality of how the cloud functions and how you adopt the cloud and how you utilize the cloud effectively. And I think from a skilling perspective and adoption of cloud, one of the things that we see as a major mistake, I think, if I can say that, that companies make, is that they don't realize that automation is at the foundation of how to adopt cloud properly. You need to have everything running through infrastructure as code. You need to have very strong DevOps practices, GitOps practices. Having fingers on keyboard is not a thing. Like, you should never have people click in a console or make a change to a service. It should all go through that automation. And it's a very different mindset that people are going to be adopting. So when you talk about the skill component, it's about finding really strong automation experts and finding people that are very clear, very strong cloud engineers. And those people augmented with your existing team will give you that best outcome. Because you don't want to get rid of your people, right? None of us want to get rid of jobs or get rid of people. I think it's a really important point here. Automation is not there to replace people. Automation is there to augment people. So if we bring the skills from the team we have already on board and we augment them with really strong automation skills, we'll just be able to go much faster.
All right. Dion, we've already touched on the how a little bit. You spoke about containerization and DevOps as two implementation vehicles to modernize your cloud infrastructure. But there's another concept called observability. Can you tell me why that's useful?
Yeah, so I think observability is something that came about with the launch of sort of cloud native and microservices and containerization. And it's sort of part of the cloud native, the journey that you go on from a cloud native perspective. So when you start looking into modernizing your application sets, you're typically moving from a monolithic application, and I won't go too technical, but a monolithic application. So it's a single code base sitting on top of a database, typically in a virtual machine. Now, when you start breaking that apart, you've now got multiple services run across multiple environments, potentially multiple data centers or multiple clouds. And having a traditional monitoring system doesn't help, because the monitoring system usually sits on a stack of servers or on an application. So it can only look after one set of virtual machines or one environment. So the idea of observability came to be when cloud native it's that first thing that we realize when we go cloud native is that, hold on, we need observability. So whenever we talk to a company about going down this road, we say to them, cool, you're going to adopt containers and microservices. You're going to need observability. It's literally the first thing you're going to ask for. And the idea of what observability does is instead of it looking from the ground up, it looks from the application down. So it gives you application performance monitoring. It gives you logs of the application. So when something breaks, you can, with your observability platform, look at the application, where it broke, where the error was, the timestamp, and you can then drill down all the different services that the application touches. It can look at the network it runs through. It can look at the storage, the databases, the servers, and it literally tracks it all the way down. It says, this is where your problem is, because we can see that there's a delay or there's a break. So it finds problems very, very, very quickly. And it just means that your time to recovery from an outage is so much better, because now you don't have to go sift through thousands of services or multiple different regions to go find where the problem is. So that's why observability is such a crucial aspect of this.
Okay. Going back to the modernization conversation, AI is the big concept now. How does companies being up to date in the cloud help them better adopt new technologies like artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I think that if you are looking at adopting any form of new technology, then making sure that your foundation is correct is always going to be the first step. So whenever we start talking to, or whenever you hear now about people talking about AI, the first thing that they talk about is data. And they're like, no, you need to make sure your data is correct. And I think that from a cloud perspective, it holds true as well. Because if you have applications running in the cloud, but the quality of the applications, the data that it produces, the data that it's consuming, producing, utilizing for its function is not up to scratch. It's not standardized. It's not good quality. Then you're just going to get bad results from that. It's that old adage of rubbish in, rubbish out. So we need to make sure that from a cloud perspective, you need to have the foundation set correctly. Because the other problem that you find when it comes to the cloud is that one of the most amazing features of the cloud is also one of its most detrimental feature, and that is that it can scale really fast. So when you start utilizing some of the technology, like for instance an AI, and you start building out these models, and they're utilizing multiple GPU workloads, and all of a sudden that scales to multiple environments, your costs are going to just ramp up through the roof. And if you don't have that foundation set with how do you manage those processes, how do you handle costs, how do you handle the scaling components and all of these different things, you're just going to run into a lot of problems into the future if you don't actually have the foundation for how you're supposed to be managing cloud properly right from the off.
Okay. And then one of the things about managing it properly is I think you've mentioned being on the correct version of new technologies. How does that help organizations?
Yeah, so if you look at what the cloud providers do, is there's always a new version of the application that gets created every single year. You know, so if you take something as simple as an EC2 instance, which is basically the one where you run virtual machines in AWS, that one gets a new version every year or so. Then if you then look at the cost of the new version is lower than the cost of the old version. So if you're just not choosing to upgrade because the effort of moving from the one version to the next version is too high, think about how that scales over time, where you can go look back at all of the different services that you're running at the moment in your environment. And if you don't proactively manage how all of these services get updated consistently, you're going to over time start seeing an increase in your bills, or the opposite will happen is that you won't start seeing the benefits of the latest technology, because the latest technology is maybe a little bit less expensive, but more often than not, it's more efficient. So you're running faster with less. So it's not just that it's a little bit cheaper, but you can run less services in order to gain the same outcome. Or if you want to be scaling to get more, you don't have to scale as much when you're on the later services. So it's always recommended that you do your due diligence consistently to make sure that you are, when the new versions are coming out, that you're getting your services running in the latest versions possible.
Okay. And the benefit for this for businesses now is, as you said, they do save on costs. What other benefits are there for them?
Like I said, you're going to have efficiency benefits there. You're also going to be looking at what are the new services that are being launched by these virtual, by these hyperscalers. I mean, you know, if you look at someone like an AWS, they're launching tens, if not hundreds of services every couple of years. It is actually phenomenal. And as a, you know, as a partner of theirs, you sort of feel the brunt of that because you're having to learn a lot of new things all the time. But it's exciting, and it means that there's always something new to play with. There's always something new to test. There's always something new to POC. There's always something new to help the business. And we need to look at what all these new technologies are. So we need to, again, going back to the mindset of adopting the cloud. We need to get back to, we need to get the mindset to be, what are those new features? Why are they, what are they doing? What are the outcomes they're looking to achieve? And how can we adopt them? Because they will provide me with business outcomes. So then you start linking the business outcomes to the new technologies that's coming in, and always having that mindset of looking for that next thing, of how you can adopt it, how you can better your business, how you can better your technology. It's always going to be positive, the outcome for the business, I feel.
It sounds positive, but it also does sound overwhelming. I mean, if you're a CTO and, 100%. You know, you always have to keep up with this constant change, that can be a difficult thing. I mean, what kind of support are you as a business then giving, you know, the CTOs in the clients that you serve?
Yeah. So look, it is a little bit daunting at times, and it is daunting even as a partner to be working with all of these different technologies and making sure that you have the people spending the time understanding how these technologies work. And I think one of the benefits that we have as a partner that works across such a wide variety of businesses in so many different geographical locations, sizes, industries, everything like that, it means that you see the different options and problems and changes and solutions so many times over and over and over again. So for us, it's not daunting anymore because we've seen it so often. So we can look at our customer base and say, well, we work in the telco space, and if one telco has got a problem, the other telco will probably have the same problem. So we typically like to get quite deeply ingrained into our customers from a strategic perspective, to go sit with the CIO, the CTO, the CFO, and help them understand what these different changes are, the technologies, the things that they need to look at that will actually help them move their business in that direction. I think from our side, understanding what the driver is, what the strategic goals are, the KPIs are for the business is key, because from there we can help and make recommendations. You know, if we know what the goals are for that business, then we can help them drive those changes in the right direction with the technology choices and the expertise as subject matter experts, as trusted advisors, whatever you want to call us. I think yes. We can then bring the right people to the table and give you the right information that will help you achieve those goals. And I think that is one of the things we're trying to do from our side, is to take that that mystery out of it, because the technology is, a lot of times, it's very new. It is complicated. It is difficult. It is hard to find people. So I can understand why companies feel like it is too much sometimes, and they feel that they, let me just stay where I am because it's easy and it's simpler. But we can help. You know, we can definitely provide them with that guidance to help them adopt it in a more efficient and controlled way, rather than throwing you into the deep end and hoping you can swim.
Okay. And then looking at, I mean, say I'm a technical lead or I'm a business owner and I'm sitting, I have moved to the cloud, but things aren't working out well. What would be the best first step at this point?
I think the best first step, if you are in the cloud and it's not working as it should, I think it's like, I mean, obviously I can promote ourselves and say you can reach out. What we like to do in those scenarios is we like to run a review of exactly what you are doing in the cloud. And then those reviews typically come with very granular reports to show you exactly what those things are that we've seen with our experience. We can find steps you can take that can get you on the right track, because there's quite a few outcomes that you're after there. The first one is most probably cost saving. I mean, that's one of the biggest topics of conversation when people are talking about cloud as well. You know, cloud is this ability to show your mistakes very, very quickly, because the bill is next month already. So you see when you've made a decision, you can see the impact of that very quickly. So I think from a cost perspective, you can definitely do that. And there's ways and means we can get very, very quickly involved and saving quite a lot if the situation calls for it. The other one is for us to be able to get you that efficiency or that output that you're after. So a lot of times people are sitting in the cloud, but they're not getting that scale that they thought they were going to get. They're not going to get that performance and output that they're going to get without the equivalent cost impact. So it doesn't help that, yes, I can scale really fast and I can perform really well, but it means I've got a one-to-one correlation between cost and performance. Like that's not also yes. what you want. So we want to try, and what we do really well is utilizing the technology that we have from a cloud native perspective, from a modernization perspective, is we can help you scale without that increase. You know, we can help you get the performance, get more customers without the consistent increase in consumption and increase in bills. So there's a lot of those sort of things. And I think understanding what those are, I think is going to be your first port of call, definitely.
Excellent. Dion, thank you very much for your time as well as your insights.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
That is Dion Strubel. He is Chief Innovation Officer at LSD Open, and this is TCS Plus.